What else is Washington hiding about US participation in Yemen? Recent news about green berets deployed along the Saudi border highlights the ever-growing US role. So what is Washington not disclosing about the United States in Yemen? This is what Randy Nord, journalist and co-founder of Geopolitics Alert, says. She covers US foreign policy in West Asia with a special focus on Yemen. Let us listen to her disclosure on Mint Press. Her piece is titled, What Else is Washington Hiding About U.S. Participation in Yemen? Stay with us for more of Randy Nord's article. For the past 3 years, the United States has attempted to disguise, manipulate, or outright deny its involvement in Yemen. Nonetheless, new facts come to light every so often that indicate Washington's participation in the Saudi-led war is much more hands-on than officials let on. The United States regime has consistently downplayed its role in Yemen, whilst news emerges that counters this narrative. Let's take a closer look at everything the United States has done whilst insisting its role in Yemen is passive. News emerged last week that green berets are stationed along the Saudi-Yemen border to assist Saudi troops. A report from the New York Times says 12 commandos arrived back in December. The New York Times received this information from American officials and European diplomats who claim the green berets' only mission is to destroy weapons caches belonging to Yemeni forces. This timing coincides with a high-profile, long-range missile launched by Yemeni forces targeting Riyadh in response to the ongoing Saudi airstrikes on Yemen. The missile launch in question took place in early November last year. The New York Times sources said the Green Berets have not and will not participate in direct combat with Yemeni forces. Ansar Allah forces, known as Yemen's Army and Popular Committees, have not shared any photographs or reports indicating direct combat either. At this point, the no direct combat claim seems to stand. It's worth mentioning that the US deployed these green berets in December, yet Yemen's resistance forces have launched countless retaliatory missile attacks on Saudi targets since. BuzzFeed reported that a former U.S. Army lieutenant now serves for the United Arab Emirates, and prior to joining the Emiratis, Stephen Tumayan served as a lieutenant colonel for the United States Army throughout most of his career. But murdering Arabs in their own country isn't Stephen Tumayan's only passion. He also ran a breast enhancement company in Tennessee called Breast Wishes. Although BuzzFeed broke the story, this information comes from Tumayan's own admissions as well as an Emirati government website. The United Arab Emirates speaks highly of Stephen Tumayan as His Excellency and promoted him from his previous U.S. Army lieutenant position. He now serves as a commander for the United Arab Emirates Joint Aviation Command, manning helicopters. Depending on who's asking, Tumayan may deny his official status. It is, after all, a very grey area of legality. When it came to a recent child custody hearing, the American Emirati commander, Tumayan, quickly backpedaled on his official involvement in foreign military. Speaking to BuzzFeed via WhatsApp, Stephen Tumayan called himself a civilian contractor. This highlights the growing instances of using for-profit hires, bluntly, contract killers, to bypass standard military norms and international law. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates both utilise Blackwater mercenaries to boost their military ranks. These countries have flooded Yemen with foreign fighters to kill indigenous Yemenis on their own soil. Fighters often hail from Sudan and many Latin American countries such as Mexico and Colombia. The United Arab Emirates takes particular advantage of this market, and it's very common for foreigners to serve under the Emirati banner. Mike Hindmarsh, for example, is a retired Australian senior officer who now serves under United Arab Emirates Presidential Guard. This strategy allows the United States and Western countries to station troops in Yemen without stationing troops in Yemen. According to reliable reports, the United Arab Emirates and the United States have established in Yemen 18 black site torture centres. Last year, reports emerged that the United States in Yemen helped the United Arab Emirates establish a series of black site detention centres throughout its territory under their control. Inmates at these 18 detention centres cited unspeakable torture. One device known as the grill roasted victims for interrogation. Guards smeared detainees with feces and crammed them into what looks like shipping containers in Yemen's intense heat for indefinite amounts of time. Beatings and electrocutions are commonplace. Conditions look similar, if not much worse, to the infamous Abu Ghraib prison, a US-run detention center in Baghdad, the Iraqi capital. According to the Associated Press, the US and Emirati troops rounded up civilians without any justification as part of sweeps to flush out suspected Al-Qaeda militants. It appears as though the prisons still function. Shortly after Donald Trump's inauguration as US president last year, Yemen made headlines. But the war-torn nation didn't break news because of genocidal bombing campaign. No, Yemen made headlines because a U.S. Navy SEAL died in a disastrous raid against suspected Al-Qaeda militants in Yemen, the Trump regime's first official military action. Not satisfied with the result, Washington ordered a similar raid just months later. The first raid left 25 Yemeni civilians dead, whilst the second killed at least 5 civilians. Many people may not know that a very young girl died during one of these low-key raids. She was an 8-year-old American citizen named Nawar al-Awlaki. A 70-year-old partially blind man also died in the raids. Again, US Navy SEALs did not leave the scene unscathed. In fact, conflicting reports cast doubt on Washington's official story. According to local Yemeni sources, tribal fighters not aligned to any group killed or injured at least 30 US and Persian Gulf troops during the second raid, which took place in May of last year. Yemeni sources also say that Al-Qaeda fighters were not present in this particular area of Ma'arib province during the attack. So why did the US conduct the raid if Al-Qaeda terrorists were not even in the area? This particular blunder may be attributed to a number of factors, including 1. Securing oil-rich land from anti-US but not terrorist indigenous tribal groups. 2. Bad intelligence, highly likely considering the US-Saudi coalition's general military failures in Yemen and on other battlefronts. And 3. Something else that Washington hasn't and probably won't disclose. Considering that Yemen is known as the secret war, whatever the true goal of the mission was is anyone's guess, including the occupation of the island of Socotra. Yemen is under complete siege. The blockade restricts access to both foreign and domestic journalists. As a result, detailed reporting about US involvement in Yemen is hard to find, especially with regards to remote Yemeni islands like Socotra and the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. Socotra is a small island between Yemen and Somalia, and its territory belongs to Yemen. The United Arab Emirates, or more properly the Sheikhdom of Abu Dhabi, has used its war in Yemen as a springboard to challenge regional Saudi hegemony, with remarkable success. For just about every Saudi success in Yemen, you'll find a success from the Emiratis. The United Arab Emirates began occupying Yemen's Socotra, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, early on during the war. Residents aren't fond of their presence and have no desire to participate in the mainland's war. Emirati troops recently bribed Socotris during a private door-to-door census, future cash and benefits for a possible vote to secede and become part of the United Arab Emirates. Abu Dhabi's assertiveness in Yemen has certainly rubbed their allies in Riyadh the wrong way. Considering Washington's close relationship with the United Arab Emirates, it's hard to imagine that the US is sitting on the sidelines during this land grab. This activity would require extreme stealth to avoid angering Washington's allies in Riyadh. Saudi Arabia, as well as the United States in Yemen, have used the war as a testing ground for military actions and military weapons. Despite the United States condemning Syria for suspected chemical weapons, the US has no problem selling chemical weapons like white phosphorus to the Saudi coalition to use in Yemen. In the war's early days, Yemeni forces detained a large number of trucks in Ma'arib province. The trucks contained materials which militants could use to manufacture sarin, nerve gas. Yemeni sources believe the weapons came from Turkish planes under the cover of humanitarian aid. The United States also sold cluster munitions to the Saudi coalition before coming under international pressure from human rights groups. Cluster bombs, previously manufactured in the United States until very recently, are internationally banned. Even recent reports suggest the Saudis still use cluster bombs in Yemen. It's unclear whether the United States or the United Kingdom provide the supply of these cluster bombs or if Riyadh is working through an old stockpile. The United States isn't supposed to have any troops stationed in Yemen. Washington maintains that its role in Yemen involves two key goals: supporting the Saudi coalition and countering what it calls the Al-Qaeda influence. Last summer, Emirati troops greeted US soldiers in Yemen at a remote airport in eastern Yemen. Together, they conducted a special mission to push Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula militants out of key oil fields. Now, the Emiratis and the US occupy some of Yemen's vital oil supplies. Fighting Al-Qaeda in Yemen poses a significant challenge for the United States because their Saudi-allied fighters consider the terror group an ally against Yemen's Ansarullah movement. For one thing, the Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula leader Qasem al-Raimi openly admits his men fight alongside the American-backed troops. Terror attacks are common in territory controlled by US allies. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and Daesh militants frequently target Emirati-backed politicians and officials with car bombs or assassination attempts. When the United Nations Special Envoy for the Secretary General for Yemen visited the war-torn country, he could not visit specific areas controlled by the US-Saudi coalition due to the threat posed by various terrorist groups. The UN Special Envoy did not have this same experience in Sana'a, and territory under the control of Yemen's Ansarullah movement. The US support for the Saudi-led bombing campaign has produced over 36,000 casualties, between killed and injured. The airstrikes typically target homes, schools, businesses, farms, fishing boats, water treatment plants, and just about anything else you can think of. Washington also helps enforce the Saudi-led blockade, which restricts imports, exports, and the flow of movement. This has put roughly 22 million Yemenis into either food insecurity or direct famine. Medical supplies are scarce and thousands of patients suffer the consequences. Cancer patients in Yemen, those requiring kidney dialysis, and pregnant women are most at risk. On top of this, the United States has carried out covert military actions in Yemen for over the past 3 years. From deploying Green Beret and occupying oil fields to running black site torture centers, the US in Yemen has ignored all international laws and norms. So what else is Washington not telling us about its involvement in Yemen?